Council, if you're ready.
Good morning. I'm Steve Block, Foster Pepper for Plaintiff Appellant Scott Anderson Trucking, Inc. May I please save 3 minutes for rebuttal?
You may.
May it please the court. We live in an era of rampant identity theft, banking fraud, other financial fraud, have for some time now. And PACCAR, the defendant respondent here, like all other financial institutions, has a policy and a mechanism to attempt to avoid this, and that is to check the IDs of individuals making requests for transactions. Under any and all circumstances, you can't just walk up to a bank and obtain information or documents, or certainly cash, without identifying yourself. And that's likely a policy it has for its own, first and foremost, for its own protection, as it should. No bank gives out legal documents without verifying ID. And there's a strong argument that banks, like anyone else, any other entity, should be liable if it does so, as a duty to the public at large. And there are courts that hold, numerous courts that hold, that there's a duty to third parties, non-customers, et cetera, of banks, if there's interaction, an ongoing activity between the bank and those entities. But the case here is much stronger than just that general overlay. Here, PACCAR created a direct and ongoing working relationship over a period of years with my client, Scott Anderson Trucking, for its own ends. And it leveraged the fact that it knew Scott Anderson Trucking needed this truck in operation to obtain payments on a loan. It had Scott Anderson Trucking as the name of its payor in its computer system. It collected payments for years from Scott Anderson, and it stopped dealing with its documented customer, Glenn Davis, years before the events at issue here.
What do you mean when you say it stopped dealing with him?
It stopped making any requests for payment, receiving any payment, expecting payments from Mr. Davis as a part of this relationship.
It accepted performance from Scott Anderson.
Accepted performance from Scott Anderson, that's right.
But it's not true to say that they stopped dealing with Mr. Davis.
They had no interaction, no communication whatsoever. Didn't even know how to reach him for years by the evidence in the record.
Well, but when the crucial events took place here, they chose to deal exclusively with Mr. Davis and not with Scott Anderson.
I don't understand that. I don't believe that's...
Well, when the request for the payout came... with a payout amount, they declined to accept a request from Scott Anderson for the payout, and instead required that Mr. Davis request the payout amount. Now, they sent it to the fax number that he directed them to, as anybody would with any client, but it was only upon receiving the request from Mr. Davis that they gave the payout amount. And then when they sent the payout amount, they didn't send it to Scott Anderson. They sent it to Mr. Davis.
It may have missed.
So they continued to honor the form of the contract and continuing to treat Mr. Davis as the customer, directing the information as he instructed them to direct it.
They realized at all times, Your Honor, that they were actually dealing with Scott Anderson Trucking and that Scott Anderson Trucking was just getting Mr. Davis to sign something. They realized that the benefit, the ongoing benefit of this relationship, meaning the payoff of the loan amount, would come from Scott Anderson Trucking. They may have wanted to paper their file for that reason.
They were accepting performance for whatever reason. We all understand that. But
okay.
Your argument is that there was a relationship established that has legal significance other than the legally significant relationship that always existed between Mr. Davis and PACCAR from the beginning when it was first assigned all the way through to the end. I mean, I was struck when I saw that they honored the request, not as your briefing suggests, upon request from Scott Anderson, but upon request from Mr. Davis, and answered the question as to how much needed to be paid by addressing that to Mr. Davis.
If one could say that, at most...
I just did.
Okay. Yes, Your Honor. If that is the position of the court, then at a minimum it would be a concurrent relationship along with Scott Anderson that had been maintained for years, and which, you know, would from that point forward was contemplated to proceed with Scott Anderson Trucking obtaining a lien on the truck in exchange for paying off the loan balance. The bank, PACCAR, knew exactly what it was doing here. Okay? All right, so you can call this interaction with Scott Anderson Trucking contractual or a special relationship for tort purposes or a new banking relationship, or it's a third-party beneficiary of a modified existing...
Well, what's the contract between Scott Anderson and PACCAR?
The contract is PACCAR agrees not to foreclose on a truck that Scott Anderson needs if Scott Anderson agrees to make payments on it. And they honor that agreement. And they enforce it if there's a delay.
If at some point... Could PACCAR have sued Scott Anderson for the balance before it was paid off? Could they have sued Scott Anderson for the balance if a payment was missed?
That's something I haven't explored, but they certainly could have foreclosed.
Well, there's no indication that they could have, is there?
I'm not certain.
What they were hoping for was, for some reason, they thought that this truck was important, even though the testimony is they have hundreds of trucks. But for some reason, they thought this truck was important, and they needed Mr. Davis to be employed in order to have the use of the truck, even though he was a bum and the worst worker in the world, according to the testimony. But there's no indication here that they assumed his obligation to fully pay, that they could have been sued if he hadn't paid. What they wanted to do was stop PACCAR from foreclosing on the truck to Mr. Davis's detriment, because that might also hurt them. But they never assumed a responsibility.
Well,
with PACCAR.
How does that differ from an enforceable contract? Another question you might ask is...
If PACCAR had sent this to Mr. Davis with the payout amount and payment had not been forthcoming from Scott Anderson, could PACCAR have sued Scott Anderson for the money?
Could Scott Anderson have sued PACCAR if it foreclosed on the loan, notwithstanding its payment to the bank? And I would contend that it could, because there's a new agreement there that they would not do so.
It would have had standing in lieu of Mr. Davis's standing?
It's a new contractual arrangement. It's a working relationship that's been in place for years. It's an understanding that is, you know, it's documented in some ways, and there's undisputed testimony about it.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you. 3 minutes.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, for the record, I'm Ken Masters, representing PACCAR Financial. And for the second time in my 20-something years of doing appeals, I'm happy to say that I have nothing to add. It's clear to me that the Court understands the case. If you have questions for me, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I will rest on my briefs. Thank you.
Thank you.
I ask you to affirm.